SA at checkout. Great hair, one click away. OvationHair.com and check Angie Austin, Daybreak USA for the discount. OvationHair.com, OvationHair.com.
We have to take hundreds of local first responders, police officers, sheriff's deputies, and state troopers to provide security for that type of visit. I would just as soon have those people engaged in the response.
That's Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards covering for President Obama, who's being criticized for not going to Louisiana to see the flooding damage. Republican candidate Donald Trump and Vice Presidential candidate Mike Pence were in Louisiana today. Donald Trump in a campaign stop challenging the African-American community for their support of Democrats, saying the Democrats have done nothing to benefit the African-American community.
Look at the schools. Look at the poverty. Look at the 58% of young African-Americans not working. 58%. It is time for a change.
Finally, dozens of New Yorkers are honoring a woman they've never met. The Journal News reports while preparing to officiate an 83-year-old's funeral, the rabbi realized no one would be attending. They put an ad on Craigslist and 30 people showed up to honor her. USA Radio News.
What's at stake at this election? A lot. From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voters Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information.
A major tragedy in Newark, New Jersey as two transit buses collide. Scott Pringle was on the scene and files this report.
Mayor Ross Baraka says one of the bus drivers was killed when a New Jersey transit bus T-boned another NJ transit bus here at the intersection of Raymond Boulevard and Broad Street.
Have some preliminary kind of data that's saying we suspect that one of the bus drivers may have went through a red light.
More than a dozen hurt, seven critical, nearly split in half.
There's a lot of people coming out of there, injured legs, broke, deep lacerations to their face.
In Newark, Scott Pringle, New Jersey.
A major counterfeiting ring was busted in Mississippi, of all places. Here's the story.
After finding $3,500 in counterfeit money, police in Clinton are trying to figure out just how much deeper it goes.
What we uncovered may open the door to a much bigger counterfeiting and prescription forgery ring.
Police Chief Fort Heyman says the fake money was found at a Jackson man's home as officers worked with the Mississippi Bureau of Narcotics looking for phony prescriptions. They found a few of those, but there were 41 pages of high-quality counterfeit bills in several denominations. One man has been arrested. A warrant has been issued for another suspect. Randy Bell in Jackson.
For more news and analysis, visit westernjournalism.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hey, it's the sports guys, and we're going to tell you about the weather. Hey, Bill, what do you want to have as far as weather this weekend? And I'll tell you whether we're going to have nice weather or not nice weather.
Well, I'd like it to be no more than 85 degrees. I'd like about 10 knots of wind coming off the ocean out of the northeast. And I'd like it to be only partially cloudy because I'm trying to get down to my boat tomorrow to take care of it real well. And if I can find someone to sail around with, I will. I'm not so sure I'm going to get there because this week is the today actually is the August 19th, 1979, a day that will live in infamy. My anniversary.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Well, 37 years. You know, Pat, in New Jersey, you get less time for murder under Title 2C.
Let's not go there because I've had too many divorce clients say to me, wait a minute, I've been paying alimony for 25 years. How long would I have served in prison? Of course, they're all kidding.
Well, they're all sorry that, not that they're divorced, but that they're not widows or widowers. I think that's the case.
So, August 19th,
1979.
Wow.
I got married. And I can actually still remember the day. I'm not that old yet. We got married at the Clinton Manor in Union, New Jersey, and we honeymooned in Bermuda, where and I'm going to warn everybody about this. Ladies, you want to go into the surf on the beach? Certainly take off the jewelry, because that lures fish, but also watch out for your nail polish. My wife had her nails done in a very pretty silvery color for our wedding, and it managed to attract two barracuda 2 days later in the surf in Bermuda, and they came at her like a pair of torpedoes.
Wow.
I had to pull her out of the surf, get in between.
So you were the hero from the beginning.
Oh, no, I've never been a hero. It was downhill from there.
Well, Barbara, congratulations for lasting this long. What can I tell you?
Well, you know what Winston Churchill said about marriage? He said, "No man is a hero to his butler or his wife."
Well, let's go from there to talk about the weather, because if you can talk your bride into going down to sail this weekend, you're right. Tomorrow is the day. It's, at least in this area, mostly sunny, high of about 87 degrees. Let's see if we hear anything about the shore. They did say... surf zone and rip current forecasting conditions for New Jersey and Delaware. Let's see what they have to say about that. Well, let's see. They're really talking about fairly nice weather down there. I don't see anything that would, we'll have to look, but there's a low risk of rip current at this point. So that sounds good. And apparently the conditions are not expected to, you know, have a problem tomorrow. And, of course, now I can't find our regular weather. But best day of the weekend is tomorrow. We should be getting some storms on Sunday, and that's not what we want. So don't try to plan anything outdoors on Sunday if the weather prediction is correct. And we all know that sometimes it's not. But certainly even when it's very hot, we can get storms in the afternoon and thunderstorms. But well, that's the problem on Sunday. There's about a 40% chance of thunderstorms on Sunday. Saturday looks fine. They're mainly afternoon, of course, on Sunday when we can get the rain. So we can start out partly sunny with about 86 degrees. Southeast wind here, only 5 to 9 miles an hour. And again, calm winds here, but we never know what it's like at the shore. It's always different. Well, so anyway, this is Sunday night. We're going to have a 70% chance of heavy rain, and we have certainly had a lot of heavy rain. But let's talk a little bit about sports. We haven't been here for a few weeks, and you know, I think most of us who are sports fans have probably been staying up till all hours of the night watching the Olympics.
Well, I will tell you, I haven't really had much of a chance to watch the Olympics because we've had a lot of things going on in my family. But like a lot of other Americans, I've been keeping an eye on things. We did all right in soccer, and we did all right in some other sports. But the only thing I actually watched was a little odd. I watched Fiji beat England in seven-man rugby. I'm still trying to figure out if there are rules in rugby other than you can't use a gun.
Well, I've been watching a lot. I really have been watching a lot. And, I mean, our gymnastic team is just phenomenal. I mean, they really, you know, this has just been unbelievable how good these kids are and how much there's a couple who were actually came here from Romania who have really turned the gymnastics world upside down in this country. And they're actually retiring after this year. So, but their legacy will continue.
Well, and you know what was exciting to me? Usain Bolt once again proved he's the fastest man on earth right now.
Oh, but not only is he the fastest, if you saw his races, every single one, I mean, there was one that he was having fun with. I think it was the sprinter from Canada, when they were kind of having fun going down and, you know, coming in one and two. But he was just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, he's way out in front. I mean, it's not even close. And so, of course, he said he's going to retire after his next run. I think his next run is tonight. But it'll be surprising if he doesn't come back. And I don't know if you watched the swimmers. I mean, some of the swimming events were incredible. The diving events. I mean, unfortunately, the problem is it usually lasts until, 11 o'clock, and then they're going on. And so I think I've been up every night well after midnight. And in fact, did not watch the football game last night. Of course, my football game came on at 1 a.m.
Holy cow.
So I decided that we would tape the football game and watch the Olympics. But there's one criticism I heard about the Olympic coverage, and that is that they're so focused on just the United States, and there's a lot of glitzy stuff going on. So, it's not the old days where they would just focus only on what was going on. And it is true. I mean, the shot put, for example, they never showed, at least when I was watching, never showed the bronze medal winner doing anything. I mean, it is true that the two Americans were fantastic, but the decathlon, if they showed it, it was so disjointed that I really couldn't even follow. So it is what it is. I was glad to see the amount of coverage that there was, but I thought maybe there was a little bit too much focus on some fluff for those of us who really like the sports. And they should have shown a few more things for the international athletes. I mean, surely with Usain Bolt, because of who he is, that was prominent.
Well, we had a nice win over France in women's basketball last night. The USA beat France 86-67, and we struggled against the French women in the first half. In the second half, we were able to pull away.
Yeah, but see, that was not a surprise.
That wasn't a surprise to me, because in London in 12, our women's team beat the French women's team as well,
right,
in basketball. And again, there was some trouble in the first half, but we pulled away. The interesting game tonight, actually it was this afternoon, I don't know how it turned out, we were playing Spain in the men's basketball semifinals, and I happen to like Carmelo Anthony, even though I'm not much of a basketball fan, but in my family, my dad liked basketball and rooted for the Knicks to the point where he once got angry at my brother and made him sit through a Clippers-Nets game. But the interesting thing will be if our NBA-stocked men's Olympic team is going to come back with another gold. I think they probably will. What do you think, Pat?
Well, I think they should. I don't think they have as many of the players as they've had some other Olympics. The one thing that I found very interesting is, do you know where the basketball teams are staying in Brazil?
I have no idea.
Apparently, they're staying on this luxurious yacht instead of staying in the village with the other athletes. So apparently, this is not the first time that they have had set what we would call separate quarters.
Well, that's interesting. Some teams will pull everybody together and kind of isolate you from the rest of the world the night before a big game. I guess they want everyone to get to sleep early and not go out and have any fun.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about just the night before the game. But let me ask you one other thing that I found very interesting. When they're talking about the athletes representing other countries, I was actually surprised, and I guess I shouldn't be, of how many of them are training in the United States, how many of them have come here and been on college teams. In other words, they obviously, different colleges are recruiting, especially the runners. I saw, many of them, for example, were in Eugene, Oregon. And there were a number of Ducks. That's their team is called
Oregon,
the Ducks.
The Ducks, right.
So many of them, I was surprised at how many of them are participating in the Olympics. But it was interesting to see how many of the athletes from other countries come to the United States and go to a college to, you know, then obviously participate in their sport at a college level.
Well, you know, we don't have a monopoly in this country on great training. You can find good trainers anywhere. Particularly, I've read places like Scandinavia, England, Germany, certainly. Russia, the Soviet Union, used to be very big on that, although they got themselves into some trouble over the doping scandal with a lot of these athletes. A lot of their track team is not at the Olympics. But I think you can be trained anywhere, and every country has its own methods. Every country has, you know, the need to really shine in the Olympics. So you get the best coaching, and even though a lot of them do train in the U.S., I understand that. I'm sure there are plenty of other perfectly good places to train.
Oh, I'm not saying there are not. In fact, I was surprised at how many of them come here and play on college teams here. That was my point in that. But it is interesting to see, you know, certain countries, for example, Jamaica and the runners. I mean, it is really, you know, they had a woman who won gold in, what, the 100 and 200, which I think was a first. And then, I mean, Bolt is just unbelievable. He'll probably win another gold tonight. So it is amazing how a country like Jamaica will have such top runners and apparently go back and forth. The United States won Olympics and then Jamaica the next Olympics. But the other thing that is totally amazing to me is that Michael Phelps, 6 Olympics. I mean, can you imagine? He started out when he was like 15 years old and he's now in his early 30s and he has participated in 6 Olympics.
Well, you know, it's interesting because he's managed to stay in good shape. He's managed to stay in good condition. He's trained at a high level. But I think this is it for him, isn't it?
I don't know. You know, it'll be interesting to see whether or not, certainly 4 years from now, he'd be 35 years old. You know, it'll be interesting. I think he retired after the last Olympics and then decided to come back. Not the only one. The woman swimmer, and I never can pronounce her name, but she's young. She should be back. And if you haven't been watching, I thought one of the fun things that I saw is they actually had a picture of her. Luecki, is that her name? Anyway, they actually had a picture of her where Michael Phelps was sitting at a table, must have been autographing books or doing something with someone else, and she was a little girl there, and he was shaking her hand. And of course, then they did the reverse at the Olympics.
Well, so now she's now having been.
Well, she now has.
Up, she's now competing.
She's now gold medal winner, and
that's
exciting. So I mean, it was, but it was really cute to see how little she was when, you know, here he was an Olympic winner at that time. So there's some interesting human, I think, interesting human stories along with it. In fact, it would be interesting if there were more of those, because there's some of these athletes, the girl who's won, Biles, the girl who's won the gold medals in gymnastics, you know, my understanding is she was raised by her grandparents. And, you know, how in the world some of these kids became so terrific that they were able to go to these full-time sports camps, it's really pretty interesting.
Now, well, it certainly is.
And of course, one of Dave's favorite is the women's beach volleyball. And of course, that's probably more because of what they wear than their playing ability. But they were great. I mean, I really thought the Americans would go on to win gold.
Well, beach volleyball is women, especially women's beach volleyball, has to be attractive to every red-blooded American male, red-blooded male American or otherwise. But the end result is it's fun to watch.
It is fun to watch because it's so fast.
It's fast. But remember, we've all played volleyball, whether in high school or college or, you know, afterwards in pickup games. I personally love playing volleyball. I think.
Yeah, but I think cool beach sport. Volleyball is so much more fun to watch.
Oh,
a regular volleyball.
That's okay. Yeah, it's all right. But beach volleyball is fun to watch for the same reason my wife likes to watch soccer. She likes to watch good-looking young guys run around in their underwear. But the end result for me is that beach volleyball is fun, and it's one of the few what I'll call, for lack of a better word, minor sports that I enjoy watching. I'll tell you what was very surprising to me, though. I watched the fencing competitions in the first couple of rounds in both foil, which I fenced in college, although not well, and épée, and in saber. And the problem was that you could never really get a good explanation of the scoring or why there was a hit or a touch as opposed to a miss. In foil and in épée, you score a point when you touch your opponent with the tip of the blade. In saber, any part of the blade on any part of the body is a point. And
that should be pretty easy then.
Yeah, but it happens so fast.
Oh, that's true.
And they would not use slow motion to show you exactly what had happened. And the commentators just were not good. It was almost like a half-hearted effort to explain the game. Now, for people who been raised on Obi-Wan Kenobi fighting Darth Vader with a lightsaber, or Errol Flynn as Captain Blood, will span many generations here. A sword fight is fun, and as children we've always played like that. But when you fenced, whether you've taken a class or you've fenced in a gym class or in college, you begin to get an appreciation for just how quick the sport is and for some of the rules. And what happened was that I would watch, and I said to myself, okay, I know what happened. I know why it happened. I know why somebody scored and somebody didn't, but they don't explain it to somebody who's new at this.
Yeah, I think they're right, though, on so many areas. I mean, obviously the shot put, you know how where it lands, so you know how they're measuring that. You know who comes across the finish line first.
Right.
But some things, for example, in the dressage and even to some extent in the gymnastics, it's sometimes very difficult to figure out. I mean, Simone Biles won the gold on the floor. Honestly, my own sense is she was not as good as Allie, what's her name? But in any event, you know, if you look at it, it's hard to determine. Sometimes it's pretty obvious, but otherwise it's hard to determine, you know, what they're taking off the points for. I noticed the same thing in the platform diving. You know, some of the divers you could absolutely understand where they got the scores. Others, it just seemed like there were two dives that were both equally good, and yet the scores would be quite a bit different. And you're right, they don't, you know, they don't explain them.
I mean, in watching dressage, I've ridden horses. I know more about horses than which end the hay goes in. But and I like horses, and I've never had a horse, never owned a horse, never had a horse as a pet, but I've had friends who have, and I grew up around them, and they can be great pets as well as riding companions.
I don't call them pets. I had horses. I wouldn't really, never thought of them as a pet, but okay.
You ever have a tug of war with a horse?
Oh, yes, more than once.
A slight tug of war?
Oh, yes, more than once.
And have you ever had a horse that thought it was amusing to splash you with water?
Well, I've had more than that. I had a horse that wouldn't allow anyone to ride bareback. So we used to have our bucking bronco.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, all the time, you know.
I've gotten thrown from a horse. It hurts.
Oh, well, we would get ordinarily we would get thrown because we would do it deliberately just to see how long we could stay on. We were, you know, the regular rodeo.
My friend, growing up, I had a friend who had trained his mother's horse, not his horse, but his mother's horse, to where she would come up and she would open her mouth and she would try to put her teeth around your head and just give you just a gentle bite to let you know what she could really do if she wanted to. And horses have very strong jaws.
Yes, they do. Well, the interesting thing, again, it was hard sometimes, you know, I was looking at some of them, and when the, you know, it was hard for me to see how they distinguished the points with and some of the dressage. And, of course, it was interesting to see there were some magnificent horses. There really were.
Oh, there are some they can be very beautiful animals. I have a neighbor that has horses, and it's a pleasure just to watch them sometimes while, you know, you get a lazy afternoon, and they're out grazing or they're looking over the fence because, you know, horses, just like any other animal, some of them are intelligent and some of them aren't, and some of them get bored easily and some don't. They can spend all day just grazing. But horses, like other animals, will sometimes look for entertainment. I had a client once who... horse was afraid of the dark, and when he would turn off the lights in the stable, the switch was right next to the paddock, the horse's stall, but he would stick his nose over until he could nose the light back on with a light switch. He didn't like being in the dark.
Well, my horse didn't like water, was afraid of going over a bridge, for example. So when I was watching the jumping, I noticed that there would have been no way my horse would have probably been a great jumper, except when he got to the water, he would have absolutely stopped. But I've learned something. I really like watching the horses jump and the people. I loved the hurdles. I mean, I really enjoyed watching both the men and the women on the hurdles. I mean, some of these people are, you know, I mean, not only are they running fast, I mean, the way they go over the hurdles, it's so graceful. So I was really pleased to see, you know, how well the American women did in the hurdles.
Well, what I've been told is the hurdles are all technique. I've never run hurdles. I don't like them. I had a nephew who ran them in college. He was a Division III school. He missed being a little All-American by a thousandth of a second. He would routinely medal. He was the captain of the track team, and he had blazing speed. And I had once said to him, what is it that makes someone into a good hurdler as opposed to a mediocre hurdler or an excellent hurdler, which he was, as opposed to just a good one? Because he was beating some pretty good competition in the 100 meter or the 110 meter. And he said, it's all technique. It's getting off the ground, and how close can you come to the hurdle without ever touching it?
Right, because you could see I was surprised because I guess I didn't remember. The fact is, it doesn't make any difference as long as they get over it, they can knock it over.
Right.
Well, the people can't. Horses can't. People can.
Well,
but the point is, it obviously slows them way down.
Well, remember, horses have two more feet to get over the hurdle.
Well, that makes it more difficult,
yeah,
not
exactly.
Less.
About the back legs. Can sometimes catch the hurdle, and that can be very startling for the horse, and certainly it's startling for a man or woman jumping a hurdle and catching it with a back foot.
Yeah, but the amazing thing about the horses, which was really amazing when you think about it, they have to jump high on most of the hurdles, but then there are a couple that they have to really have a long jump, first over the water,
right.
And then there's the other hurdle where I don't know exactly how wide the two hurdles are, but they have to go over the whole thing. So they really have to have a variety of skills. I mean, I think and all of the horses there. I don't know if I've ever seen, other than on television, have seen that many people, on horses doing the hurdles. And I thought that was really very beautiful. It really was.
It's truly beautiful. I think when you are watching people do dressage, they're just so fluid, and the animal and the rider are just so in tune with each other. It's almost like they're one creature, and they just seem some horses, just like some people, are very athletic, and they just sort of they run up to the hurdle and they just sort of float over it somehow. And it's interesting. I noticed in dressage, just like in some of the track events, the better competitors seem to have the least amount of hang time over the hurdle or over the obstacle in dressage. I don't know whether that's trained, because I know nothing really about either sport, but it seemed to me that, again, a lot of it was technique. So now how do you teach a 2,000-pound or 1,500-pound animal technique and how to jump something correctly? I mean,
well, I think they can teach them to jump. What I'm always amazed at is a dressage where they teach them to dance.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that to me is what is really amazing is, you know, how...
You know the history of that. You ever see the Lippincer Stallions?
I have.
Yeah, I have too. And it's amazing that this is the Lippincer Stallions were literally horses being trained for the military from about 1400 onward. And the Lippincers, they would always get white stallions, and they would take them to, I think it was called the Lippincer Palace near Vienna. And they were trained to get up on their hind legs and use their hooves as weapons to fight in cavalry battles or to knock down men who were in the infantry. And when the Lippincers came to the United States, my wife and I went to see them first in the Spectrum and then another time in Wells Fargo Center, I believe. Maybe it was the Spectrum twice. And it was absolutely fascinating to watch some of the skills. Some of these, one horse managed to carry a rider on his back legs, hopping at least 300 feet.
Wow. Well, listen, let's play a couple spots, and then maybe we could talk about our favorite sport to some extent to see. Well, you can talk baseball. And, of course, as I said, I didn't... couldn't watch the game last night because they played it at 1 in the morning. But let's talk a little football and see if there's any predictions about your wonderful Eagles when we come back.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, We will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Well, we're back, and I was talking football. You're going to talk baseball, so let's start with you. What do you want to talk about,
Well,
Bill?
Well, that's awful nice.
And by the way, this is Sports Guys. John is on his way to Boston. Not even sure he's able to hear us. So if you are, hi, John. Bill Wolfson and Pat Smith are here this afternoon.
We're the Sports Guys today, and we're doing a darn good job of it.
Well, I don't know about that, but we're the Sports Guys.
There we are. I wanted to talk a little bit about baseball. And as you know, I'm a huge Yankee fan, but the third-place Baltimore Orioles have a young guy who's well worth watching, and his name is Zach Britton. Britton's a relief pitcher for the Orioles. He's made 40 appearances so far this year, and he is the kind of guy you want in a one-run game because he's limited walks and extra base hits. He has managed to come in a lot of tough spots and with two on and nobody out and get three outs. And he's a tough guy to beat. The way he plays, the Orioles want to get to the seventh inning and hand this guy the ball now.
So let me ask you, because when I grew up, a relief pitcher came in when the regular pitcher who ordinarily would pitch for nine innings was screwing up. Since they have an opener, a middle guy, and a closer, are relief pitchers also specialists?
Pretty much these days. And it's a funny thing because this guy throws a two-seam fastball, and he's even more effective than Aroldis Chapman with his fastball, or Dellin Betances of the Yankees with his curve, or Andrew Miller, formerly of the Yankees, with Miller's slider. He manages to throw this two-seam fastball with some tremendous velocity, and he throws it about 90% of the time, and it's really tough to hit.
So then why is he a relief pitcher? Why wouldn't they groom this guy to be the regular opener or middle guy?
You know, some people just don't have the arm stamina to be starting pitchers. And the kind of relief pitcher you want is a guy who can come in and throw hard to get you anywhere from 3 to 6 outs. And then you want your closer to come in and get you the last 3 outs and make sure that you've not just shut the door but nailed it shut in the ninth inning, especially when you have a lead. One of the problems we see with relief pitchers, though, is that they come out and they throw hard for an inning or two, and then they've got to come out the next day and throw hard again for that inning or two. When it gets to be August, they start to wear down. It always surprises me that they don't have more arm stamina, but they throw so hard that I think it does something to the muscle and tissue and joint sometimes. It'd be very interesting to hear or read a study about what happens when somebody who's a great relief pitcher over many years, you begin to see some of the physiological changes in the arm, and they just begin to start losing something. Because a lot of relief pitchers depend on pure speed, and that two-seam fastball or the cutter or a little bit of the slider and how it moves. But if the ball doesn't move properly, somebody is going to hit that ball a country mile. And, you may be waiting till next week before it comes down out of the air.
Well, you know, it is interesting. I've been watching the Olympics, and as I said, I've watched a lot of it. How often they've talked about the athletes who've, you know, recovering from injuries or had injuries or, you know, have not been doing as well because of injuries or are now doing better because they seem to have rehabbed. But there are obviously lots of sports injuries, so it's certainly not just the baseball pitchers.
Sure. Well, you know, with the case of the Orioles, they've managed to hang in the American League race this year, even though I don't think they're as good man-for-man as the Sox or the Jays. The Orioles.
Ooh, wait! Are you talking about the Red Sox?
Oh yeah.
You talking about? Oh, it's too bad that John isn't here. Well, he would be able to gloat.
He certainly would. But you know, the Orioles win by keeping things close through about half the game, and then hoping that between their power lineup, they get a couple of runs to support an excellent bullpen, who Zach Britton anchors. You know, he's 37 for 37 in save opportunities.
Wow.
His manager, Buck Showalter, says that Britton's the biggest difference on a club that's 7th in the American League in runs and 10th in earned run average. They're beginning to compare him with Mariano Rivera. So those of you who are baseball fans and not just Yankees fans or Mets fans or, God forbid, Red Sox fans, this guy wears number 53 for the Orioles, and you'll probably see him after the 7th inning. Zach Britton, check him out. So, Pat, how are the Packers doing?
You know, they played at 1 o'clock in the morning.
How do you play football at 1 a.m.?
No, they didn't. They broadcast it out here at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that's disgusting.
So I've taped it. We missed the last, game because of the Olympics. So, you know, frankly, the reason I like to watch the preseason games is simply that we can see some of the young players. You know, you one of the reasons I don't want to go to the games is that, you know, half the people that you see in the, especially the third game, you know, they're not going to be there when they start the season because they're using these players to find out who they're going to cut. But it is fun to watch the young players, and you know, I guess we're going to have some games to watch over the weekend.
Well, yeah, well, we've got some interesting games going out there.
And frankly, the scores to me make who cares about the scores in preseason? What you really want to see is hopefully nobody gets hurt, and you give the young players some good opportunities to show what they have, and frankly, see what it's like to be in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's exciting. You know, if you followed somebody in college and they get drafted to a team that you like, seeing how they make out when they get into the pros is always interesting. While we're on the subject of football, I don't know if you got the email I sent out this morning. Us sports guys are talking about a road trip, some nice sunny Saturday afternoon or
to Lambeau?
Saturday evening. Not to Lambeau, but to Lincoln Financial Field to see my Temple Owls. And I'll tell you, I was thinking about maybe the last home game of the season against the Cincinnati Bearcats, which I think is in November. But there's also, I think, another one October 26th or 29th. I'll check that out. But I'd rather not go to a night game. I'd like to sit in the sun and watch football and get that last bit of a fall suntan.
Yeah, well, especially in October or early November.
Yeah, I mean, it gets kind of cold, But, I love football weather, clear, crisp weather. But I'd rather go to a day game than a night game.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I'm going to see, the Giants are playing the Packers at night on Sunday night. I think that whatever that Sunday is, I think it's the 9th
or
the 11th.
Is that the November
9th game? No, it's October. October 9th. If the 9th is a Sunday, it's October 9th. And that's a night game. And then the next Sunday, they're playing Dallas during the game during the day, and then the following Thursday they're playing a Thursday night game against the Bears. But at least in October the weather is reasonable. But I agree with you; I'd much rather watch an afternoon game, or even a late game. Even the game that starts out there at 3 o'clock, because by five it's dark.
Oh yeah, and the way the stands are set up. Temple is becoming a better team all the time, and I was thinking October, I was hoping to go to the October 21st game against South Florida, but that's a 7 o'clock game. The October 9th game, 29th game against the Cincinnati Bearcats, who always play the Owls, very tough. They haven't announced the time yet, so I'm hoping that that's a 1 o'clock start or a maybe an early afternoon start, like a 3 o'clock start, because, once the sun gets behind the western stands, it gets really cold. And I like Philadelphia, and I love going there, but I'm not so sure I want to be there in November on what I'm sure will be a very cold night. November 26th, the Owls host East Carolina. That's always a pretty good game as well.
Yeah, but that's late November. Is that Thanksgiving weekend?
I forget. I think it's a Saturday after Thanksgiving, and but it is Thanksgiving weekend, and I think we may just have to watch that game on TV. Temple suddenly is playing some unusual schools, including a school I never thought they'd play, Stony Brook, which is out on Long Island. And I think they call themselves the Stony Brook Pirates. Temple also plays Southern Methodist University, another good school, on October 1. But the unfortunate thing is November 4 and November 19, they're both on the road against Connecticut and then Tulane. And they have University of Central Florida on October 15th, and then they've got an 8 o'clock game at Memphis. I've never been to Memphis.
You're wrong. I said the same thing, and then I went to Memphis and had a great time. It's especially anybody who likes music and food and
they call Memphis Music City, don't they?
Yeah, and I mean, we really had a great time down in Memphis.
Yeah, one of the games I also thought about was September 24th against Charlotte. I mean, the Penn State game is at Penn State, and you're just not going to get a ticket at Happy Valley. But guess who Temple opens with on September 2?
I don't know. Who?
The Army.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you won't get a ticket for that game either.
That'll be a tough game to get a ticket to. But they open in Philadelphia against Army. And one of the cool things about when a team plays Army is the parade of cadets.
Right.
They march in and they march to their seats. They're wearing the traditional gray uniforms. They call it a long gray line. And it's worth it just to go see that. And it's even better if you can go to West Point and go to Mitchie Stadium and walk around West Point. It's a beautiful place.
Well, I've been to West Point, but I haven't been to a game there. But the other thing, and if you really want to see not only good games, but University of Wisconsin, because of their band. I mean, they just have a great band. I don't know if you know about the Wisconsin tradition.
Nope, not at all. About Wisconsin is cheese and Packers.
Well, the interesting thing, what happened at the University of Wisconsin, I mean, they had great football teams in the 60s, but then their football teams were less than mediocre. I mean, they were really bad. Well, what happened is they started to have what they called the fifth quarter. So all the Wisconsin fans would stay in the stands, and the band would come out and, you know, just go crazy. They would have not only this great music, but the dancing. And, I mean, the Wisconsin marching band is bar none one of the best in the country. But this was the tradition. So I remember the first time I think that we saw it was when they were out at a Rose Bowl. And, you know, everybody starts getting up to leave except none of the Wisconsin fans. And it gets to be a whole fifth quarter, and they go on and on and on. And it's really a fun tradition that they started only because their team for so many years was so horrible that they needed to do something. And now when they have good teams, they still do it.
Well, you know, the marching band is some of the most fun about watching a game. You know, it's usually halftime. They do some cool things.
Not like, you know, there are a few really top-notch marching bands, and Wisconsin is one of them. I mean, this is not the usual marching band. I mean, they really are phenomenal. It's worth, you know, going to the game just to see them. Well, not really. I'd like to see a good game. We were hoping to see a game, but unfortunately, they're playing Ohio State the Saturday before the Saturday they're playing Ohio State, and then Sunday they're playing the Giants. And we would have gone to the Ohio State game, except that it's at night. So by the time you get out of that game, it's probably going to be 1 o'clock in the morning, and then have to go all the way up to Green Bay. It's probably a little too much, but
no doubt about it. I can tell you. Then another place to watch a good college football game is Princeton University. You have a tremendous chance to walk around a beautiful campus. You get to see all sorts of beautiful buildings. They have a museum. It's free. Beautiful art.
Yeah, but do you really like the games? I mean, I've never thought that the games there were much of anything. Excuse me, Princeton, but
I think it's the environment more than anything else. I mean, they play, they open with Lafayette and on the 17th of September, and then they play Brown and Harvard, and then they play Penn and Dartmouth at the end of the season, the week before Thanksgiving. And it's fun. It's a nice environment. People seem to enjoy the games tremendously, and the tailgating is fun because you run into all sorts of characters.
Well, tailgating is fun anywhere. But I guess if I had my choice in Princeton, I would rather watch hockey. I mean, I really like hockey in Princeton. So if that was between the two, I would go to either men or women's hockey games.
Oh, yeah. There, the Hobie Baker Rink there is a really nice place. I don't know if they still play in it, but I've actually skated on that ice as a kid and as a young guy, and it's a nice arena.
Yeah, I don't know if they skate there either. I've been to that but it's been a few years since I've been there.
I wanted to mention Penn State has a beautiful ice rink, too, which was donated by the same guy, the zillionaire who owns the Buffalo Sabres, apparently played hockey at Penn State, and they have a beautiful hockey facility there. It's really something to be seen. The Flyers coach Dave Haxtell, who was the coach at North Dakota State, a great hockey power, said that the Penn State arena and rink and training facilities were really world class.
Mm.
Speaking of hockey, though, you know, our sports guys are always out there looking for fun, what I could call cheap thrills if this weren't a family show, but I will anyway. I've just begun scoping out the Lehigh Valley Phantom schedule, and the last three Fridays in February, they're all home at 7 o'clock.
Well, that sounds like fun, because we had a great time there before, and because I don't want to run out of time without giving a few spots here, why don't we come back with a goodbye and talk about that as soon as we play
a
couple more
sponsors.
Let's hit that
money button and make our sponsors happy,
right,
Pat.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Okay, Bill, how would you like to wrap this up? Actually, one of the things I was going to do, one of these days, is to, you know, perhaps provide a little football information, you know, kind of the thing you get out of Footballs for Dummies, because I think that you were right when you said that so often in the Olympics they're not explaining, you know, how the scoring is done, and they're not explaining if you're not really familiar with the sport. And I think we do the same thing with football, you know, because we think, and I think we do, have a fairly good understanding of football. We expect everybody else to think about it and to understand. I mean, there are certain things now that most people understand. Although, you know, you talk to some non-football players and you talk about a Hail Mary, and they can't quite understand what in the world you're talking about going to church if you're going to a football game and somebody is saying a Hail Mary at the football game.
Oh, yeah, it's the same thing where someone runs talking about Notre Dame football, and they were talking about Touchdown Jesus, and I'm going, what the heck is Touchdown Jesus? And it turns out that there's a statue of Christ at one end of the field in Notre Dame, and I think it's outside the stadium, or maybe it overlooks the stadium, I don't remember, but it was certainly a cool kind of thing. And the thing that I like about football, especially some of the traditions. I always get a kick out of the Lambeau Leap, except when they're playing the Eagles. But then there are a lot of Lambeau Leaps when they play the Eagles.
We hope so.
Well, as a Packer fan, you've got to hope so. But they really should. They really miss something in a lot of the broadcasting, and that's what I call the teachable moment. That's what I call the,
you know,
explaining things.
I agree, because often I get so tired of listening to these guys chit-chat that what would be much better is, instead of just idle chit-chat, they would explain some of what happened. And, you know, they rarely do. So I think that especially when it's an unusual play or something has been called that you know, even someone who's somewhat knowledgeable about football might not quite understand it. I don't know. I just think that they missed the boat, and I
think that takes a lot away from the thinking that goes into coaching and in playing. And you have to be a very skilled, knowledgeable sportscaster, and a lot of them have just gotten lazy and just want to chit-chat, as you point out. I always say to myself, okay, you've got take a sport like football. You've got a third down. You've got 7 yards. You're playing the Packers. You've got Clay Matthews snorting fire, just looking for a sack so that he can drive you back. What is the offensive line coach telling his linemen about protecting the quarterback, particularly if the quarterback is a right-handed thrower and Matthews is now lining up on the to the quarterback's left? You now have a left guard and a left tackle who have a tough assignment, or maybe you're going to throw a running back in to help with the blocking and try to pick him up, because quite as I've said to you before, I watched Matthews play and he's an amazing guy. So